Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Irish NRL Show. As per usual, delighted to be joined by the Tash. How are we?
In person.
Yeah, it's our first in-person podcast, so it can go one of two ways.
Well, it's probably going to go worse because of the weekend we had, the Bulls had, so.
No further comments. It was an origin team building camp.
Yeah.
Similar to what they did years ago.
It's exactly what the Queensland used to do.
Yeah. Yeah, look, not much is going to change, though. It's still going to be, as per usual, it's going to be the power rankings. Apologies for no episode last week. See,
wasn't my fault.
Wasn't Natasha's fault. It's been largely me this season, but I will try and make amends as the season progresses. So it's going to be the power rankings. Any changes are going to be based off week 11. So it might seem a bit odd, but look, we'll work our way through it. Then we're going to kick on to four tackle, the main crux of the show, and then we'll finish up with a quick preview for round 13. Obviously, there is seven teams on a bye, so it's an abridged one. We might get some thoughts on
one.
But without much further ado, power rankings. Are we going top, bottom, bottom, top?
Will we start from the bottom down?
We'll start from the Dragons.
Or is it? It is the Dragons.
Really?
Was it the Dragons?
Yeah.
Oh no, sorry. No, after they bet the Roosters last week, yeah. I think they're gonna skip up a little bit one.
Yeah.
I think from this week and maybe last week, the Cowboys go to 17th. I think.
Yeah, which is strange because we'd actually bumped them up. They had a bit of a rally, but look. Yeah, I could also go with the Knights. I know it's unfortunate they find themselves at 16, but I could go.
Yeah, actually, the Knights could be a good one to drop.
Yeah.
7-8, yeah. And
let's go Knights. Let's kick them when they're down. Having Ponga not make origin. So then I suppose Cowboys in 16.
Yeah.
Dragons
up to 15th.
The Dragons. The much needed bounce back victory for the Dragons. So. Maybe it says more about the Roosters than it does about the Dragons. I'm gonna 14th.
You have to bump them up after their.
Yeah, but who falls? Falls to 14th? Like
Raiders.
I can't go that far. I would say.
would you say the Roosters?
Yeah.
After five in a row or four in a row, like, I think.
Yeah.
In form, I think they should be.
Well, yeah, if it's power ranking, four, yeah, if it's power ranking, they yeah. should be there. I'm gonna jump. Keep the doggies where they are, 13th. Another good win, but it's more a reflection of the sides around them. I would say, based on the last month of football, 3 wins. I'd say Wests are gonna jump to 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11th, you probably push power up one spot, because that's one of the best performances. That's the best performance they've put all year, basically.
Especially after losing a few lads, like they were up against it a little bit.
Slide Manly up a spot. Warriors
drop down, Manly go up. Just under.
It's only one performance from
Manly,
so.
And it's against a bad Raiders side.
I'd be tempted. Oh, I get the digs in there. I would be tempted to actually rearrange. So I'd actually go Manly stay where they are in 11th.
11th.
Para goes to 10th. Warriors stay where they are.
Bingo.
Yeah. Manly in 11. 10 is Para. 9 is still the Warriors. I'm going to petition for the Raiders. I know they were poor on the weekend, but it's still 4-0, 5-0.
Yeah, they still have that.
Now, look, the most fortunate side in the power rankings, I'm going to say, is the Gold Coast Titans.
It was a 2-point win, like, and they did play well, but it was just, I think they're going to stick in there.
They really don't deserve that. Haven't thrown them away.
I think you dropped the Dolphins to 6 and bumped the 2 up. So Sharks go to 4 and Storm goes to 5.
Yeah.
And then all stays the same there at the top, I think.
Yeah, don't have a knee jerk reaction to the Bunnies.
Or you can swap the Broncos and the Panthers maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put the Panthers at 2, Broncos drop to 2. Oh, 3.
Perfect. Right. That was a struggle.
Maybe we'll tap down next time.
So four tackle, and it is yourself to lead us out the park.
Yes, I'm going to talk about something that I've been talking about for the last maybe 5 or 6 weeks.
It's just every episode. Would you?
I think our Roosters, I know they're a game away from maybe middle of the table in the top 8, but they just don't seem to have it this year at all. I think injury is going to catch up with them. I think Brian Smith, Hargreaves, Manu, Daniel Tupou, and Sam Walker are all injury doubts for next week. And then their game plan was nearly out the window. You actually don't know who's leading that team around the park.
You don't know what the game plan is. You don't know how they're trying to play ball. That's the thing I think I'm struggling with.
Well, to drop, I know that he was trying to drop Sam Walker, like, and then not to get any better, like. I don't think it was poor Sam Walker's fault, and I think I know Keary had a good game at the weekend, he scored 2 tries, but it was the first time in a while that I seen him actually run the ball in the way he used to play when they were probably in top, or they're in that when they won the cup a few years ago, like the Premiership, like in that sort of attacking mode.
Yeah.
Ever since that, now I think they're gone downhill, like.
Yeah, it's for me, it's a combination of a few things. It's a lot of big names in that roster that have a lot of miles in the clock. So it's not necessarily an age thing, but it's a attrition kind of setting in. They probably haven't, you probably, I know it's very early days, but you probably look at the signing of Cheese as a mistake. He's not what they needed.
No, they obviously need, like, Reid Manny would have been perfect for them.
Would have been exceptional, and how Power let him go is still beyond me.
Yeah.
And for what they let him go for.
You can see what he's doing with the Bulldogs. It's getting better every week he plays, like, for them. Which is but I don't know how. And as going back to your point of the big names, individual players, and all want to run the ball.
And yeah.
They're all getting in their own way a tiny bit, like, that there's nobody really going, grabbing by the collar and saying, this is the direction we're going to go down for the next 10 minutes. You have, like, when they're under pressure, Hargreaves comes out for a run, Victor Radley wants a run, like, Manny wants the ball, like, and there's nobody dictating to them lads where we're going after this. Like.
Yeah.
So it's a massive thing on Trent. He has to figure that out fairly quick.
And look, do you start to get a little bit harsh here? Because it's something we'll say when we talk about the Raiders, and we probably talk about the Raiders too much, but we kind of say, look, is he getting to the stage where he's just there too long? They've heard everything he's going to say. He hasn't got that influx of new players. It's
and he plays an old standard of rugby league as well, compared to the younger, like these assistant coaches coming out to be head coaches. They're playing a different brand of rugby. Like, and even you can see it with the Storm. They always bring in a really good assistant coach and change things up regularly. There's always a different voice in the York where it's the same old players going behind. Them boys are there all the time. It's not just Trent. It's Jake Friend. It's the Morris boys. They're there fucking 20 years now. Like, at the end of this. Like.
Exactly. And I think we've used this example before. And it's derived from other quarters. If you look at like Sir Alex Ferguson's tenure at Man United, he changed his system every 2 years.
It's a massive thing. You know, and it's I heard a great one about Craig Bellamy about how he stays so regular, like as in he changes assistant coach, but the way he manages the players as well. When he's in the dressing room, he's coach. When he's outside the dressing room, he's a person. And you know that way. And I don't know if Trent is like that, as in the way he seems very professional all the time.
Yeah.
So he might be losing a bit of these newer players, and the way that you're talking about Smith, like coming from that to this, it mightn't work as much.
He's
like doing
he's
a
hard man. Look, you get shades of that with Ben as well. I just think Trent in the former life would have been an accountant, I think. So moving to the other end of Sydney, Jay Garrett's decision to move to Manly with immediate effect. Good move for him, or do we see him making that step in his career of being that regular first grade star?
I think it's Jake falls under the same sort of branches like Kyle Flanagan. I think a new environment for them lads would be perfect, and I think this is a great move for him to get away from that cauldron. Even isn't never his father's fault, just to get away from his father as well, in a way that he's not, like, the fans don't have that excuse to say that
it's
his coach's son,
yeah,
which is great for him, like, and he'd be out of that bubble then. But I said to you before the podcast, the players coming out today and saying that we should have done more is not great. It's not a great thing that they knew was going on, and they still didn't do anything until the poor Gossam was gone or he had to leave.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever did anything wrong on the field. I never thought he was the excuse for, or he was the fault of losing any of the games he ever played in.
No. I think, is he young? Was he 20?
Yeah.
Still? 20 still. You look at, obviously, then the official announcement of the Mitch Moses contract, he's not going to get playing time, so
no.
Probably needs to go. And look, it's probably a bad week to move to Manly, given how good Josh Schuster looked on the weekend. But Josh Schuster's Josh Schuster, so he's going to be banned for 2 weeks here or there.
Along the way.
So he gets a chance, and a great chance opportunity to learn from Daly Cherry Evans.
Is there a player swapping this, or is it just him going one direction?
I don't have a full opportunity to read it, but I think it is just one direction. I think
don't know who, if say Moses or what's the other halfback,
Dylan Brown
go down, who's there to replace them when. Like, this is what I think the deals aren't looking at the big picture when they're letting these players go. Like, and there's like,
I think it could also be tied into, I know he's not on a huge salary, but I think there's an element too here of nepotism in that you look at those headlines a few weeks back about Clint Gusson being on the move to bring in that star player. Has Brad Arthur arguably got eyes on who's coming in and saying,
yeah, maybe it's saying they're not looking at this season, they're looking at next season.
And even just to say to the young fella, look, you're know how to play based on who we're going after. So
yeah. I wonder. Moving to Manny though, there's a massive the depth chart in the halves is big in Manny as well. Like you have Cooper there, Cooper Johns there. You had your man that debuted what's his name? I forget. But then you have Schuster and fucking David Cherry Evans. Like I know it's gonna happen when Argent comes around that Cherry Evans will be out for a little bit, so
but that's three games arguably, and they might have I didn't look at the full schedule, but they might actually have a bye out of those.
In between, yeah, someone gets a really good ride through the Argent. But it'd be interesting to see how he's used and when he's used, if he is even used this year, like.
Yeah. The strangest thing of it is like Manly could do it with some player signings, but they couldn't do it in the halves. Like, is it big 10?
If you're really fucking 10 really looking at it. Yeah.
So it has to be a long term move. Maybe they see something in him. Maybe like I've been impressed with him this season actually. Like before I kind of thought, he's just not that.
Yeah.
Regular starter. Bold
yeah, but he sort of took a step up this year. Like he's a big boy. He's about 6'2" or 6'3". Like he's a big, long, rangy player. Like,
and when he gets that man size, he's still only 20.
Yeah, he fills out a bit. Like he's sometimes you look at these players, like, and you're thinking maybe a season or two in Super League with Suchet, just to get away from it all and come back and grow up a little bit. As Hastings did or something like that, you know, that way.
It's just getting out of that fishbowl of Sydney. Like you're going
and
to
Sydney as well, yeah.
You're going to Manchester, you're going to where so like association football is always gonna rule.
Well, nobody's gonna know you in Manchester.
And speaking of fishbowls.
Yeah. So Ponga moves to fullback this year. Is it time for him to be stepped down by the club because he got another head knock at the weekend and this one was a very soft. Now I know he came back, but I think from the week before when he played so well to this week, if he went out and played again, he'd be starting full back for the Queensland Maroons, I think. And then the head knock comes into it, like.
It's
a worrying time for the player, I think.
Yeah, and then you look at the play of the ball incident. Obviously, that's that doesn't happen to someone as much experience as him.
No.
I know he's still relatively young, but he's very experienced.
And he's definitely practicing all this stuff. Like he just, there's no way he doesn't let, like the small things. Like he'd be like Ronaldo, or you know them ultra professional. Like everything he does is perfection. Like, so I'd say it's just a lapse in concentration maybe or something like that, or was maybe something of.
Maybe it's related to the head knock.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's a difficult situation. I've always said it. To be fair, it's like lovely player, but he's a. For him to reach the pinnacle for his career, he had to end up in like a really good structure, like a Roosters, like a Melbourne Storm, and he personally had to be willing to take unders to make sure he wasn't the pinnacle. That for me, because he's not a fullback who controls the game, say like a prime Tedesco.
If he was in the Melbourne Storm, he would be tearing it up.
Yeah, and that's why he's so good when he plays Origin.
Yeah. Because he has the boys in front of him that are able to put him in positions.
Yeah.
Whereas in Newcastle, you have okay players that are maybe not looking at it. If Joey Johns was still around, isn't
that's the element too. Is like there was a lot of hope put on him because he was the player to. A lot of people forget. Like I know they haven't been amazing, but Newcastle were what West Tigers were until a month ago.
Oh yeah.
For years and years and years, and he was very much seen as the player to.
Bring him out of this.
Just the second coming of Joey Johns, JJ, and that's an incredible hype for something to build up to. I just don't think he has the caliber.
I was watching NRL 360 this morning, and Buzz Roffey was talking about Queensland going away from loyalty and stuff like that. But yet, he was saying that Ponga should have been there, like the head injury, Newcastle getting 100%. Why would Newcastle take him out of the front line, put him back to full back when he was 100%? Like if that's the change they're making, like I think it does tell you there might be something wrong or they're trying to look after him a little bit, not to be in the front line of the defence at all. Like so they are worried about the player, like, and I know Billy Slater is probably the same. Like he looks at him as a person before he looks at him as a player, like. And he said the concern for the player's health is the reason why, was one of the factors that he didn't want to put him in the Queensland side.
Yeah, and look, that's I think that's also a good scapegoat for Billy because balance of play.
Oh,
I
yeah,
know he's
like
an error
response, like
yeah.
But like Ponga 2 weeks ago was Ponga of Queensland, like the Maroons.
Yeah,
like he tore up.
But
in that game,
but it was glimpses we were getting at
yeah.
him. Like he's had so much inconsistency this season. I just don't know where it goes. I'd say though he's obviously played a lot more there, so he obviously has. But I think he's more susceptible.
His tackle technique is
at
a
fullback.
Little bit high as well, isn't it?
I think he's more susceptible. He can't hide him at fullback.
Yeah.
So
and it's a one on one, and normally try saving tackles where he's going full fucking tilt dash.
Yeah.
Which is the scary thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It just and body's only getting bigger in the NRL too.
Hmm. And faster.
Yes. So moving, sticking with the Origin team, New South Wales Origin selection.
Whoop whoop.
The Campbell Graham mystery, I suppose.
We'll
say. Is there more to this than is what's been reported to date? Bear in mind we're recording on Monday as opposed to typical Tuesday. And if so, what is the potential backlash? I say that not even having a conspiracy as to what's going on here, but it's just very strange. For anyone that hasn't heard, just to catch it up. Cam Graham was named 18 man, and then they were then reported that he has a mild sternum injury, so he's been dropped. He's removed himself from camp, but he's likely going to play for the Bunnies against the Raiders this weekend. But if he's a mild injury, it doesn't make sense that he's going to be able to play this weekend, but not in 10 days' time.
So is it something they were talking about that it was like a training load as well that the Bunnies having a lighter training load, whereas they don't force him through the week and play him at the weekend.
Yeah.
So is the intensity of Origin camp a little bit too much for him in that 10 days maybe? It's strange, but it is a strange one. If like for me, I think he I would put him on the wing, to be honest, if he was fully fit. Like
yeah, and like look, there's wider concerns to me. I know he pretty much tore to shreds in the weekend, but it is the only game that Tom Dragojevic has played that he looked remotely like Tom Dragojevic.
Well, I wonder, was it that he went out with the mindset as like, look, for the last whatever 8 weeks I've done what you want me to do, and he goes, just let me go out and test this out, and he put the boot down and
yeah.
He looked like Tom of old, like when Saab made that break down the line and he was cruising. Now he did open up and he was smiling and he's
yeah.
going, oh, this is not going to be a good day for you, lads.
Yeah.
It was a scary sight. Like, and a few times that when someone made a break, he put the boot down in the middle, like, and you just go, like, he was full hit, like. So I wonder, was it that just let me test it out and let me go full, let the reins
yeah.
off? If it was a Manly that was telling, like, don't push, don't.
Yeah.
Anyone breaks away from you, like the Broncos game when Cobb took off on him and
yeah.
he just gave up, like, straight away. I wonder, was it that he just let me test it this week and see what it's like.
On an absolute sidebar, Berber went off with another hamstring injury, and Jake is the only one with hamstrings.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's because he takes little steps.
if it was to be slightly conspiracy theory esque, do you reckon there's a bit of a sulk there on Campbell Graham's behalf?
Oh.
So up until the last game of the weekend, he probably was the New South Wales starting centre.
I thought he had played a serious game. Like, I know they got bet, but like anything that came down his side was dealt with.
And he's been consistent
yeah.
for, it's not just this season,
for like
the last 2 years at least. He's been very
yeah.
consistent.
For two fullbacks to get in front of an actual centre, like,
yeah.
I know they're fucking angry, probably the best fullbacks in a generation, maybe, or best players in a generation, but still, like, there's, I think, if you're playing that position all the time, I think it should stand you a little bit better than say two quality footballers coming in and just playing, filling the gaps. Like, it's a strange one. I think he is the ability to fucking like dominate in Origin.
Yeah, he's in Origin.
Physically, this year, like
Origin.
I know in the World Cup, like you played in the wing, but this year his physicality on that age, like he's just towering and dominating players, like.
Mm.
He dominated Cody Staggs. He dominates any centre he's up against nearly with his physicality, like, and it's all upright tackles. He just swarms you.
And he's kind of got that awkwardness. And I'm gonna use probably two examples from the Dirty Code, but he he also has that kind of ability that I've only really seen in Matt Hansen or Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger, to kind of score weird, freakish, awkward tries.
Come out of a bundle of fucking 10 fuckers and then all of a sudden he has the ball, he's
ball
gone,
bounces
like,
into his hand or something. I just think
there's luck and then there's, I don't know why it's called
awkwardness. To be honest with you. Moving up to Cowboys country.
So has a coach ever been sacked after winning coach of the year the previous season? Todd Payton is not going well with the Cowboys this year, and I don't know, can he skate through this year with the laurels of last year, maybe that the performance they had, but it's the exact same team, exact same players, and they are underperforming for that coach at the minute.
Yeah, I think, well, arguably they overperformed last year. They massively overperformed last year, given some of the talents. But again, this is what the Cowboys have always been. Even when they thirst them, they'd have a rip-roaring year.
One year every time. Like.
And then a blip the next. And that was even when they had Andy Bowen at fullback, the Johnny Thurston, the Gavin Cooper, second row. Like, they're the spine of a good team. And even with Michael Morgan. So they're the rock solid halfback pairing.
Yeah.
But they always seem to be the same. Just, I think a lot of people underestimate how crucial the draw is to North Queensland. Because home games for them are
massive. Yeah. So, and they'll have no travelling fans nearly half the time. They go anywhere outside of Queensland.
So they build a massive...
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
See what the Broncos this year like.
Yeah.
And look what's happening there, like.
Just build momentum. But even the Cowboys one is stronger still because it's the conditions are just that little bit more uncomfortable.
And harsh.
But to answer your question, has or should a coach ever be sacked after winning coaches? They probably should never be sacked the next year, otherwise we're becoming too much like association football, Premier League in particular.
What about when you lose to West Tigers 66-18? Where the Tigers couldn't score a fucking point.
But the Tigers the last month have been...
Well, yeah.
They've really started to click. And it's the players you signed and hoped for. Like, Appy was different custard on the weekend. John Bateman was a brilliant game. The first John Bateman game I had where he's like...
Okay, Junior, the winger, I think he's a freak.
And there's a lot of... a lot of decent pieces.
And Boudou or whatever his name is, the fullback that they put on. Even Brandon Wakeham is just putting away lads, like doing his job. Like.
Yeah. And Luke Brooks had. Someone brought up a point, I don't know, I think it was the Telegraph podcast, and they were saying, look, it's well documented Luke Brooks has never played Finals 40. But the football he's played in the last month, is it arguably his
best?
And I know he won Daily M Halfback of the Year maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but he's been playing exceptional football.
And you hate to say it, but was it your man on the inside of him that was forcing him out of it?
Jackson Hazen?
No, what's your man that got injured? Did his fucking ACL?
Dewey.
Like, he could be a very, very strong character, and at least this player now, it's your team now, like.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, I was thinking about Luke Brooks, and it's only from watching interviews, you don't know what he's like. Some people are struggling with media. He's kind of that quiet, unassuming, not dominant bloke, so he could.
You know, you find it with Luke Carey as well sometimes, you know, that way. Like,
easy bully, that's
easy it. Bully, yeah, like, small stature, small. And you think maybe sometimes that he doesn't have the dominance or the commitment to dominate players like the way he should with a halfback.
But his experience too, and like he was lights out under 20s, I think, and he's arguably one of the Tigers' best servants.
Oh, definitely.
In terms of volume, maybe not necessarily
quality.
Yeah, maybe not production, maybe, but look. Back to origin. Queensland this time.
How?
Queensland origin selection. So, look, there's a lot of significant droppings for Queensland. Obviously, look, we kind of touched across Ponga. And Gagai's dropping in particular. I've got a lot of headlines because it's what, his first game he's missed since 2007.
22. Is it 22 tests in a row that he's been included in?
So like that's captured a lot of headlines. But for me, the big one is Cole Capewell.
Mm.
I think
it's more about what he can offer you everywhere else in the field than the edge or wherever they're going to play him. Like,
it's that that unsung work that he does for both the, because he's not been lights out this year for the Broncos. He's not had maybe the impact that he had last season.
The only thing about it is, like, if you look at their, say, 14, 15, 16, 17, if they get an injury in the backs, who goes on?
Oh.
Harry Grant, Tino, Ruben Carr, or Jay Arrow. I know you have Ben Hunt, like, slide out to, like, 6 or 7, like, but after that, you're in trouble, like,
who's
who?
Your goose. He's capable of covering so much for you, and he just...
Like, he played a full series at centre at one stage.
He did a lot of that. Grit, that,
yeah, the
dog walk.
And if you're not in tune with it, you'll miss it, like.
Yeah. And it's the stuff you actually kind of miss sometimes when you're watching Origin.
Yeah.
That when you watch the kind of highlight shows.
Yeah, it doesn't show that stuff at all.
And then they kind of break it down and they kind of like, look at it, and then you're how did I miss that?
Yeah.
But you've got to think someone of Billy Slater's ilk and his background team, that doesn't go unnoticed, especially someone like Billy Slater, who's come from that Storm system, who appreciates the hard work.
I think that the Gagai one, it can't be down to form, because for the last few years, he hasn't played well for his club. Like, he never played like
Newcastle or Origin mode.
You know? Yeah, like it's, but it, that's like that's the like it's a known fact in the circles. Like it's either Gagai in Queensland or Gagai in Knights.
Yeah.
So like to say that he's not playing a form doesn't go back to the last 3 years when he was picked out of form to play exceptionally well in
even Gagai was the Bunnies. It's so it's not like it's just
I know like the hammer, but like at centre I'm still not,
we know what he offers from a speed perspective. Mm. And look, he's definitely improved. He's taken a massive jump by going to the Dolphins, I feel.
But I think that edge is going to be like Tulani and him are going to be teared up. I think that you'll have Mitchell and Tommy going down that wing the way they did in 2019, in the way this two centres went, they paired up and came around the side. Like,
and like the arguments could be made that that's probably why they put the hammer there to kind of run them down. But
yeah, but you have to catch them after, because will you?
But I can't see can't. I'm struggling to recall a series of moments where his speed is paid off in defense.
Yeah. You can't in your own head. Like, where did this come out of? Like,
yeah. I think it's a soft edge. And to be honest, like, but
the one thing I like about it was Tommy Flegler going into prop and Davide Pang on the other side. It was like, if I pick him, you have to pick him. Because this is going to be Queensland.
The two boys are going to get out.
I think that when Panga got Tino at the game against the Bulldogs, the elbow up on, and then for the next 10 minutes, Panga went at him the whole game.
But look, the one thing we've always talked about Panga is he's kind of a reputation for a bad work ethic, but he was phenomenal on Sunday. When they were chasing the game, he really stood up with, yeah. I don't know how many carries, he was getting like 2-3 carries per set.
Mm. Yeah, he always stood up and went again, and he wanted the ball every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
So next up, we've got the Tash's wild card.
Yeah. Joe Luck. If you could pick one Queensland and one New South Wales, former New South Wales player for this generation, so going back, I'm going to say myself, like, 90s, I did not really understand rugby. But 2000s and 2010s, like, them sets, like, who would you think would make an impact, or who would you love to see light up the Origin with the crop of players that are there now? Like?
One for either side.
Yeah, one for either side.
I'd give you two or three, but for pure comparison alone, I'd love CGI against Latrell.
That was the one I picked. GIA running against Latrell and Latrell running against him.
Then part of me would also love to see a battle of Cameron Murray versus like prime Corey Parker.
Because
that's like, you know, the whole styles fight make fights. That's a very interesting game to watch, and a very not similar, but whole package blokes, that's up there. I think all
I'd love to see Brad Fittler playing six to Cleary seven.
Yeah,
that would be impressive.
Or
Joey just bring back.
I tell you who's someone, not Slayton Cook or Appy, but I tell you who'd be good hooker showman is Danny Blavis. And then it's just a wild card. You'll always just throw Willie Mason in because you don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. If you're going to do that, you're going to put in fucking Gordon Tallis as well.
Yeah. So many loose cannons. If you could get a loose cannons.
Yeah.
Just give us 10 minutes. It's like the hockey. You get 10 minutes before the half to do whatever you want.
Yeah. Just like Gordon, prop front row of Gordon Tallis and Sammy Toide.
Put in what's name, Luke O'Donnell, is it?
Yeah.
For the New South Wales.
Or you just bring lads who were even
Paul Scott.
What was his name? The Ogre. Mark O'Neill.
Mark O'Neill.
Yeah,
Spud Carroll maybe.
Spud Carroll and Tony Carroll.
Oh, Tony, yeah.
So look, if I had to pick one Queenslander,
GI.
I think it is GI.
Hmm.
Because you're probably going to go GI, John Mitchell. Let me see Jonathan Thurston versus Nathan Cleary.
Oh, yeah. Or you could go Fekir Austin. Who's the seven? Lucky. I don't see Lucky.
I think Lucky played his best at six.
Yeah, with Thurston outside him,
No,
I just loved it. I'd love to see the matchup. It's very hard to explain, like, how far rugby league has gone with the likes of Joey Johns. Like, and you know, it always goes back to cut your form now. And you would just love, with his skill set, the way he defend it, just everything about him. And his cuteness, like, the same with Thurston. Thurston would thrive, I think, now, with the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Just his running ability alone, like, he would thrive on the breakout, like, with the repeat sets, the six against, like, you'd just love to see that happen, like. And it's the one thing when players get older, you start to admit, it's like the Michael Jordan documentary. Mm. You knew it was going to come to a stage where you look at him and he goes, that's an old man now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we don't like them. We like to think of them as
the prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good. That was a good one, actually. Good. Make it in question. Look, we've actually talked about them a little bit so far, and I think I've made it very clear that I'm a massive fan of the last month of football. But after a historic performance for Western side, that is their biggest ever management victory, and a vastly improved month of fight, because look, I know they didn't score against the Bunnies, but the Bunny ran away in the last 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Well, a little bit more than 5 minutes, but look, they ran away with it in the end. But it was a very tight game of football. What is the ceiling for Tigers this season?
Well, where are they in the ladder? Just 2 seconds. As we've discussed about Sydney Roosters and stuff like that, we're giving out about the Sydney Roosters. They're one win away from being sixth or fifth. So I think the Tigers will surprise you where they are. They have 8 points. If they win this week, they can jump up to 12. Which is a massive jump. Like, if the other teams,
they'll struggle.
If there's someone on a bye and stuff like that,
they'll struggle to win this week.
Well, I know, yeah.
They're on a bye.
They're on a bye, are they?
Yeah. It's the second bye of the season, obviously, with Origin miss.
I just think that if they can perform the way they're performing, and the like of, as you say, like Brooks has the ability to lead this team and stay the way he's playing, because he is not bringing it up to the line as much. He's not getting that contact. Like, he can stay fit, injury free, like, and still play the way he's playing, because they have a very mobile pack.
Very mobile. Very mobile.
Little small, sort of, you think of, like, say, the Cowboys last year, you're looking at the size of them going, but I think their ability to get around the park and be dynamic and get, like, post contact meters is going to be massive for, like, the like of Bateman, the like of Stephon.
Well, even Joe Fangawi and
Alex Tally. Joe Fangawi had a serious game there at the weekend. Unbelievable, like, and he's scored a great try, like, and did a lot around the park, like. So, like, to see these boys, like, especially Joe Fangawi with his history, like, and starting to perform for that team, like, hopefully it's quiet that he doesn't get his own head now and start looking for a move away and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Sometimes it happens. But if they can stay together and nothing comes into the camp and try and divide them, if they can, like, Tim Sheen, fair play to him, he took a lot of slack in the last, and arguably probably needed to take it, like, but never put it on the players.
Yeah, and even, like, you look at his defence of Luke Brooks.
Yeah, always backed him, like.
But even at the weekend, was fairly...
Yeah, nobody expected him to come out and absolutely read the bunker and the refs after.
No.
It's like, how many tries do you need to be happy, like?
Tim, let's flash back a month.
Yeah. It's over, Tim, it's over. We're on the way up.
I think, if I'm being brutally honest, and I don't know if it's maybe what West fans want to hear after this, but I think the scope that side finishes 10th.
And which,
well, it misses it by 2 spots, but I think given the start of the season they've had and last year, and the fact that ultimately it won't change until you get rid of Pasco, I think that's a successful season if they can turn us around and get to 10th. I know it's probably not successful given the money they spent, the talent they brought in, but I think it's a great foundation.
I think as well, if they can sort out, they're going to have to make a decision on Luke Brooks. He's out of contract at the end of the year, isn't he? So that's going to have to sort out, and you just hope that the players, you hope that the support, if he does go well, they back him next year as well if they sign him and not throw the duty out when it starts going to shit again.
Yeah, although they can be a bit
they can forget a lot quicker.
They can be a bit like Arsenal fans trending Arteta out all of a sudden. So,
well, I heard it was Kim Kardashian that fucked us up anyway, so That's the excuse now. She went to the, was it the Euro, the Europa game that he's lost?
Yeah.
And that was the start of the downfall.
Look, it's conspiracy theories, folks. It's a good one. It's a good one.
I'm not reaching my hat to it, but.
So look, we'll quickly run through the round 13 matchups. As we said, it's Monday, so no team lists and stuff like that. We're probably just going to make brief kind of predictions based on what we think sides are going to lose with Origin. Kind of form, and
so me first with it.
Yeah.
So Thursday morning, 10 to 11 at KO Stadium, the Dolphins take on the Dragons. Dolphins are favourite, $1.53 to the Dragons $2.50. I think the Dolphins are arguably in a strong position. I know they lost Hammer maybe to
Tom
the Argent
as well.
Who?
Tom Gilbert as well.
Is he gone as well?
Yeah, they lost a bit of talent. They've lost that talent.
But the Dragons have lost their talent with Ben Hunt.
Yes.
So I think the Dolphins will come out and they'll fill the gaps a lot better than, say, the Dragons. And the way that the Dolphins are, they're a much better unit than the Dragons this year. So I think this will be an easy victory for the Dragons up in Queensland.
It'd be easy win for the Dragons, you say?
Oh, sorry, the Dolphins, sorry. My fault.
I tend to disagree. If the Dragons have that new buzz, I think Felice Kaufusi gone for 3 weeks. I know he's not going to play Origin, but he's a huge loss to our side runs, as well as Tom Gilbert. So I think it's going to be tight. The Dolphins will probably win based on home advantage, but I think it's going to be like a try on that, I think.
But what I want to say about the Dragons in the Sydney Rooster game, when the little scuffle happened in Radley, that's probably the best, say, minute and a half of rugby I've ever seen. With just the defence. I was like, do not turn over. This is going to be awesome.
I was very busy at that moment in time, and I made sure I seen that. Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, right, go.
And that's the sort of bite. I know we didn't touch on it this year, but the coach is gone, and the intern coach is in. And sometimes it just takes the intern coach to know what's going wrong to put, straight back in. Lomax came in, so... and then he got a result, which most times if shit's going wrong and you make a change, it's just a new voice in the room,
I know, even just with the shit show that was Hook, and kind of we're not going to renew him, they know he's going to go, and his headlines are in it just releases that pressure valve in the locker room, and
your man knows he only has this season to well unless he goes for it to get him over.
I think Dragons have played him tight, and I wouldn't be surprised if they turn him over. Next up, Para versus the Cowboys. Look, Para aren't as effective by Origin this year as they have been in the past, given their form. Cowboys were abysmal, but yet they'll still lose an awful lot of players because they're a Queensland side. I'm going Para. It's in Sydney as well, so I'm going to say 12 points.
Yeah, I think after the result of last week with the Cowboys, and the losses they're going to suffer this week with the camp, I can't see the Eels not beating them well at home. I go 10 or 12 with you as well. Saturday then, we were short, as we said, a short week. The Warriors take on the Broncos at McLean Park. The Warriors are actually favourites, $1.40 to $3. Same crack again, the loss of the Origin Stars for the Broncos. I can see the Warriors taking the Broncos here at home. I think the way they play, the way Sean Johnson's playing, they had the UFC fighter in there during the week. On the old. So the rest is gonna be awesome. And I just think at home that team is their crowd alone is worth it's 14 man for them. So I'd say the Broncos will find it very hard to travel over there and expect to get anything else than a good beating.
I tend to agree. What's left behind for the Broncos plus the Warriors and the boy at home, it's everything's going against the Broncos in that one. Next up, Bunnies Raiders. I have to back the Raiders. We're not being as we lose Hudson Young, but in other years you're losing Papali, he's retired from Orange football, you're losing Jack White, he's retired from Origin football. Somewhat, this is kind of headlines, you might renege on that. But the Bunnies have been one of the form sides. Did a poor performance against Parra, which is strange. That's the one thing I meant to actually say and bring it up is the Bunnies usually nail Indigenous round. It's very important to them as a club. It's important to all clubs, but it's very important there. I just think Sands, their superstars, although the halves is unaffected, I think they might be liable. The best thing that could have happened to them is they lost the Parra going into this fixture.
Yeah.
Because they'll roil up. I think it could be a game, it's probably the game of the round. There's not many games, obviously, but I think potentially could be a game of the round.
Definitely a special one to watch. I think the sides might just nip it as well, as you say, after the loss last week. They'll get up and around the lads. And then Sunday last game, Knights take on Mallee in McDonald Jones Stadium at 7 o'clock in the morning. Knights are actually favourites, $1.38 to $3.10, which, as we say, all these teams are, you know, which teams are not affected by Argent selection with the tipping. Mallee are
this is the
losing.
First time you've been favoured all year.
Yeah, Mallee are losing. I would agree with the tip, and I think Knights might just have enough to. I think it's going to be closer than what the odds saying, what the betting saying. But yeah, I think the Knights might just get out of it, especially keeping Ponga at fullback that they're going
to
play.
Well, relying on Ponga to play the ball, which we'll see. Yes, look, that's a very short round to begin. Just quickly, I suppose, before we finish up, initial thoughts on Origin, we might probably preview in more detail next week.
I think, as we were touched on with the Queensland lack of backs maybe, and how strong New South Wales picked their backs, I think that's going to be a massive decision in how to play and how to go forward to like game two.
Yeah.
I think Adelaide, it's neutral ground. I think New South Wales might tear them up.
The only thing I would say is it's arguably the defining game for Freddie's Origin career.
Oh, definitely.
If he loses this,
yeah,
they go up on to Brisbane next.
That's Brisbane, and we have a hard record up there.
That could be series over.
Yeah.
I
think as well, like the Queensland pack compared to the New South Wales pack is a little bit stronger.
Mm.
I just thought with the picking, like I prefer maybe a bit bigger bodies. I'd like to see Junior Paulo maybe start in the game and Davida Pangai come on as an impact, like let him run it up inside the pitch and let him off, like get a bit of madness in him, like which is strange. And then Appy, I know Appy had a cracker of a game. I just think with the backs they pick, I think if Cook was there and he picked and went, like you would not stop the load of players coming up behind him, like.
And I'm fascinated to see how Nico goes.
I'm fascinated to see how he uses Cam Munster as well. Murray on the bench.
Yeah.
How do you want to choose him into the game? I know he's probably going to go edge.
He's probably going to bring him on after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's an 80-minute player. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, I can't wait for it. Obviously, it's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
So you'll have to pretend to work.
Yeah, it's not like enough to do that already, but.
But look, I suppose, in short, that was the first in-person pod, not just on this show, but also on the network. So history. So that's actually coming up in the Leaving Cert history paper.
Just 10 years.
Little tidbit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all for me.
That's me done too.
Thank you. And good night.
Good luck.
To go 8 points all play to Keary. Veers down the left, short pass Mitchell, beautiful pass to Tupo into the backfield, gives it to the next goal.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient.
Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.